Let's take our Bibles and open to Luke 12. Let's remember in the mornings to bring our Bibles and our books. They tell me there's some connection between what you retain and what you write down. It seems like it improves, right? When you write down what you hear, it helps you to remember it. Beginning at verse 13, and I guess we'll begin on this side this morning. Sister Heidi again, we'll start with you.
Someone from the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance for me."
But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or arbitrator over you?"
And he said unto him, "Take
heed
and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses."
And then he told them this parable: the ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. And he thought to himself, "What shall I do? For I have nowhere to stand to store my crops."
And he said, "I will do this: I will tear down my barns and build larger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods."
Then I'll say to myself, "You have many goods stored up for many years. Take it easy, eat, drink, and enjoy yourself."
But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?"
21.
So, is he who lays up treasure for himself, and is that rich toward God?
Then he said to his disciples, "Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, nor about the body, what you will put on."
Life is more than food, and the body is more than clothing.
Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which have neither storehouse nor barn, and God feeds them. Of how much more value are you than the birds?
Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your life?
Yeah, Jared.
And which of you, with taking thought, can add to the stature one cubit?
Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest?
Consider the lilies, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, and yet I say to you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these.
If that is how God clothes the grass on the field, which is here today and tomorrow, is thrown into fire, and how much more will he clothe you of little faith?
29. And do not see what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an access mind.
For all these things the nations of the world seek ye after, and your Father knows that you need these things.
Okay, now all together on verse 31. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. All different translations, right? But we know it. Seek first the kingdom of God, right? That's the thought there, right? That's how he ends this. All right, so let's help one another this morning. So what's the context? Why did Jesus tell this parable of the rich fool? What was taking place, or what had taken place? Just go back, look in your Bibles, and you'll see it. You really want me to help you, right? All right, so Jesus was teaching them. And in the midst of his teaching, someone calls out. I guess he wasn't paying too much attention to what Jesus was saying. Something was bothering him. Something was in his heart that was troubling him to the point where he blurted it out. And what was it?
His brother should split the inheritance.
Right. Teacher, tell my brother to give me my share of the inheritance. What do you think prompted that in this man's heart? You think maybe his brother had cheated him out or was trying to keep something from him? You think he had a legitimate complaint here? It's very possible he did. But this thing had worked in his heart to the point where he couldn't hear what Jesus was saying. Jesus had been teaching them of warning them and encouraging them. It says here, indeed the very hairs of your head are numbered. Don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. He was teaching them about how God cares for us. And yet this man didn't seem to hear that. And Jesus knows our hearts, doesn't he? And so I guess he could see and know what was behind this man's demand or desire. And so what does Jesus say? You appointed me? Who appointed me to be a judge over you, between you? Watch out, be on your guard. Take heed, beware of covetousness or greed, for a man's life consists not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Okay, so that's the setting. This is why Jesus told the parable now. And then he tells this story. So what is the story? What's the earthly story? Come. Right. Did you get that down? That was a good summary. That was great. Right? You ever hear people say that? I mean, we've heard the expression, eat, drink, and be merry, right? Well, that's where it's taken from here, right? Eat, drink, and be merry. This is how he felt. Look, I have so much. I have everything I need. I have more than I need. But you know what? I'll still build bigger barns so I can keep it all for myself. And then I'll take my ease and live the good life. But how does the story end? Brother Phil didn't tell the whole story. How does the story end?
Well, my Bible says, fool, tonight you die, and your barn full of goods, who gets it? That's what happens when you fill your barn with self and not with God.
And you never see a hearse pulling a U-Haul.
Now, you think that was kind of a... You got it now? But you think that was... you think that was swift judgment on this man. But what is Jesus trying to show? Are we guaranteed tomorrow? Is any of us guaranteed tomorrow? None of us are guaranteed tomorrow. And this man thought he had a long life ahead of him. He thought that he was set. And yet he had not planned for eternity. He had not considered the fact that someday he was going to die. It seems that was the farthest thing from his mind. And that's why God called him a fool. He's not a fool because he's rich. He's not a sinner because he's rich. Why is he a fool? Because he did not plan for eternity. The Bible goes on to say, or Jesus goes on to say, this is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God. So what is the meaning, or what is the spiritual meaning for us, the heavenly meaning? What should we take from this story? How can we be rich toward God? Well, maybe we should step back a little bit. What does it mean to be greedy? Anybody here greedy? Anybody here covetous? Huh? Is that one of the Ten Commandments? Do not covet? Do you think that our hearts are the same as the hearts of the people back in the Bible in the Old Testament to whom God spoke, do not covet? You think our hearts are the same? I think so. And it doesn't mean that you have to have a lot of things. You don't have to be rich in order to be covetous. You can have very little and still be covetous. Did you know that? We can want more. Always want more. I understand that the word that's translated here, covetous and greed, there's three words in the Greek for that. And the first one means you have a passionate desire. You strongly want something. The second word is to have more. And the third one is the love of silver or the love of money. And so you put those all together. A passionate to have more silver. A passion to have more earthly things. Jesus had began with the warning, now watch out. This is a danger. This is a danger for all of us. Watch out. A man's life does not consist in the things he possesses. All right, so that's kind of the negative side, right? We know that we shouldn't be greedy. We shouldn't be covetous. We shouldn't want things and accumulate things and build a bigger bond so we can accumulate our stuff. So what should this man have done? What do you think? Now, Jesus doesn't specifically say it, but how could this man be rich toward God? What could he have done to store up for himself treasures in heaven? What could he have done? He could have given his abundance or his excess to the poor or to someone else who needed it. Did he have enough? Did he have more than enough? And I think we in America, do we have enough? Do we have more than enough? Yes, we do. We do. Even here at camp sometimes, I go to that dining room, I could probably pass up a meal.
That was my wife. She said yes.
My kids said yes. But really, we could do without. And things. How many times do you just go to the store and you buy? You don't really need that thing. But it's on sale. I have to have it because it's on sale. Well, no, you don't. Look at all the money you save. You didn't save any money. You spent money. Right? And we're in this mindset. We laugh about it, but... You know, we're in this consumer materialistic mindset, and we don't even realize it. And there are people around the world who just worry about having clean water to drink and where the next meal comes from. And so the thought of being generous never entered into the heart of this man. He felt that it was, well, just look at it. Listen how he says this. What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. Right? It's all his. So as a Christian, if God blesses us with things, what should be our attitude? Because this is the bottom line. You're not maybe a rich farmer that's going to build barn. But what should my attitude be to the things that God blesses me with? What is it?
Everything I have is His.
Everything I have is His, right? I think David was one who understood that. David in the Bible. When they brought the offering for the temple, he said, Lord, what we're giving to you, what we've brought today is only what you've given to us. It's yours anyway. Everything belongs to God. And as Christians, our attitude about things and the things God blesses us with is they belong to God. It's just mine as it were, borrowing it, or I'm a steward, is the word the Bible uses. I'm a steward of what God gives to me. It's not really mine. It's what God has blessed me with. And so I learned to be generous. I learned to give to others. And it's not something where I announce and say, oh, look how generous I am. I'm doing this. I'm doing that. The Bible says when you give, you shouldn't even, your left hand shouldn't know what your right hand does. Just do it between you and God. Bless someone else. Ask God. God, man could have said, God, show me. Where should I invest this money in your kingdom? Where could I meet a need in your kingdom? Are there needs all around us? Yes, there are. And God wants to use us to be a channel of His blessing. There's a verse in the Old Testament that says this, the liberal soul is made fat. Now, I need a modern translation to help me with that. The liberal soul is made fat. He that is watered, or he that waters, is watered himself. And what's that saying is that if when we learn to give, what does God do? He gives to us so that we can give again. And it's a wonderful thing because, see, God's heart is open to bless you. And He wants you to be like Him. He wants you to have an open heart that blesses others. Stop thinking so much about yourself. So he goes on to say, and at the end of this, I really think the application is in the verses that follows, right? He says to them, then he said to his disciples, so here's the application. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the lilies, or consider the ravens, consider the lilies of the field. God takes care of them. And so instead of worrying about how much stuff I can accumulate, and worrying about tomorrow, about what I'm going to wear, you ever open your closet and there's 10 things hanging, I have nothing to wear. Right? That doesn't happen to you, right? Or, okay, I better stop. I won't talk about shoes. There are so many shoes in my house. It's incredible. And I only had one pair of sneakers growing up. No, I'm just kidding. And we would wear them until there were holes in the bottom, right? But that's a little thing. But what the point is, don't worry. Let's not set our heart on those things. Because your Heavenly Father is going to take care of you. You see, and I think that Jesus was trying to teach them also that let's put our trust in God. He knows all about us. He knows our need. He will supply every need that we have. Let's trust Him. Don't worry. Don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. You know, I understand that when you have wealth and you have a lot of things, you have to protect those things, right? How much better it is just to place them in God's hands and say, God, you keep. You keep. They're yours anyway.
It's not necessarily just stuff. It could be education, wanting another degree,
mm-hmm.
Or it could be even health. We're worried about yourself. Mm-hmm. It's itself, but it could be like education, it must be other things.
Right.
Rather than think, well, maybe I should start sharing with somebody else rather than getting another degree. And there must be other things along that line. It's not necessarily.
Right, things, right.
Mm-hmm. Clearing out your own brain, your own thought, you know, worrying about your own state of mind.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So instead of being centered on ourselves, God wants us to look out and look at others and see the needs around us and how we can bless and be useful in His kingdom. And then at the end of this, it says, O you of little faith, do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions, give to the poor, provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Can we trust him? I'm sure if I asked for testimonies this morning, and maybe one or two would like to just give a testimony, we would hear that God has provided every need, that God has been faithful, that God has not failed us, that God gives us what we need. He gives us strength for today. We sing in that song, every need his hand supplying, every good in him I see, on his strength divine relying. He is all in all to me. Can we trust him? Don't be anxious. Seek first his kingdom. Seek to do his will. Seek to be a blessing to others. Seek to be like your heavenly Father, who gives good gifts, who opens. This man could have opened his storehouse and said, come, anyone with a need, come. I have more than I need. I have an abundance. I don't want to build new barns. I'm going to give away everything. I have barns already to store. I'm going to give away everything else. Be generous. Be generous. I know I've told you this story before, but I was had just begun to work, I guess. I was in my 20s, and there was a missionary that came to our church, and I felt that I should give her, which to me was a little bit, and again, please turn off the mic. No, it was I felt to me it was, you know, it was a lot of money at that time. I felt that God said, give her $500. I said, look, $500. Okay? It's more than my tithes. But I did it. She had need, and I knew that. And so I gave her that money. And maybe a week or two later, I got a check in the mail. How much money do you think I got in the mail? $500. And it was from an accident I had had. And I paid out of my deductible. And then they got the money from the other driver. Wasn't that nice? And the insurance company mailed me a check for $500. And that just taught me something, you know. And as a young person, I think God was trying to teach me just to be obedient. God tells me to give it away, I give it away, right? And then he gives it back. So that what? So I could say, oh, look, God gave it back to me? No, so I can give it away again. And you realize that it's not your own. That nothing that you have is yours. You're just a channel of his blessing. And so I know that we're all loving and generous people. And so maybe this is just, again, an encouragement to us to continue to do good. To do good. Just one more thought in closing. We sang in that song, cast down every idol throne, reign supreme and reign alone. And Brother Paul reminded us, asked us to say, Lord, show us something. Well, you know, this thing is an idol, can be an idol. Covetousness is idolatry. And why is it so? Because it takes a place in our heart that belongs to God. God wants to be the one who supplies our need. God wants to be the one who pours his blessing into our lives. And when we somehow think that we have to do it and we have to make provision for ourselves and we have to, that doesn't mean that we're not careful with the money he gives us or the time he gives us or the talents he gives us. But we're not to worry about it. We're not to be hoarders. But we're to be channels of his blessing. And so a good lesson for me. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Seek first the kingdom of God. All these things will be added unto you.
Most wealthy man was one of the Rockefellers, and he was always worrying about his wealth to the point that it made him sick. And then the physician told him, you need to start giving away your wealth or do something like that. And I believe the result was he started to get better. And that's one thing we were taught. Brother Gardner taught us as students as well as the congregation that if you have a problem with covetousness, you ought to make a point to give away, to give. And God will give you help along those lines to overcome that tendency, to break it, say no to it, say yes to generosity, sharing, caring. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Let's just take a moment to bow our hearts before God and give him a response. Again, he knows your heart. He knows my heart. He knows what we're thinking. And whether we have a little bit or a lot or something in between, we all can be generous. We all can learn to give. We all have time. We all have strength. Someone pray with us, please.
Father, help us to give of our best.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you that you've done so much for us. You've given yourself. You've given, oh Father, your only begotten Son. And Lord, we are honored to live for you and to serve you. And we want to realize the importance that we can give our best to you. Because you so loved us, and you will show us the way, oh God. You will make the way. Oh God, help us not to hold back, but to give our best in our work, to do our best, to serve you with the best effort that we can, and in whatever other realm of giving, Lord, as unto you, heartily enable us.
Yes.
In Jesus'
name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's sing 391. 391. We can stand as we sing.
Just to take him at his mercies just from Jesus, simply taking life and rest and joy and peace. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him.
The Lord is not, first of all, interested in what we have. He's interested in us, that we give ourselves to him. And he knows that when we do that, we give him everything. Not that I have my own, I call, I hold it for the giver. The Lord will supply. I have that testimony that the Lord has supplied my every need. Oh, Lord. He wants us. You know, there, life does not consist in what you possess, but in a relationship, or in relationships. You have a father and mother. How do you stand in that relationship? Or you have a brother or a sister. How do you stand in that relationship? But this relationship with him, that's what he desires. Lord, we're yours.
Yes, Lord.
You've purchased us with your own blood. We give ourselves afresh this morning to you. Take full possession and use us for your glory. Set us into your will. You have a purpose, a plan, even for today. Work, Lord, according to your own good design, will, and purpose. Jesus, possess us more fully just for yourself, that we might glorify thee in everything. Amen. You know, I thought it was good for us to get still today. You know, I imagine this is about the only time where we really have the opportunity to get quiet. And the Lord works. He works all the time. And he works best when we get still. Praise the Lord. The Lord bless you. Let us serve him with gladness today. Amen.